So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. I'm not even sure how this morning is going to go, because this message has been marinating in my spirit for about 3 months. I got the concept. The Lord began to deal with me at the beginning of summer this past summer, and I knew that I would be preaching along these lines today. And God has just messed me up. So if nobody else gets anything out of it, I want you to know that God's messed me up through it. I want to talk to you on the subject of legacy living. Legacy living. Not just living for the right now. But how many knows there's a tomorrow? And our kids have to live in tomorrow. And I don't want to just live in today and be done with it, but I want to live in a way that when I die, I leave a legacy unto my children. And I leave this world a better place because I was in it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Chronicles, I want to jump into it because we want to anoint everybody at the end of the service. But I want to jump right into it. In the book of 1 Chronicles, if you have a Bible like mine, that's found on page 372. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now, if you're taking notes, it should be on YouVersion. It should be on that. But if you're taking notes, get you a pencil, paper, a pen, whatever. Here's what I've learned over the years, that the dullest pencil is still sharper than my memory. And so you might want to write some scriptures down. I'm going to give you a lot. I'm going to throw a lot at you this morning. And it may even be a two-parter. I don't know, but I'm going to do what I feel like God's told me to do this morning. The Bible says, then David said, this will be the location for the temple of the Lord God and the place of the altar for Israel's burnt offerings. And so David gave orders to call together the foreigners living in Israel, and he assigned them the task of preparing finished stone for building the temple of God. He appointed masons for to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. Verse 3, and David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors and gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Verse number 5. Now David said, Solomon, my son is young and inexperienced. I'm reading from the New King James Version, Mike, if you can find that. Now David said, Solomon, my son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the countries. I will now make preparation for it. Now, I don't know if you caught that. He said, my son is inexperienced, but I'm going to set him up to succeed. My God. I'm going to set him up. I'm going to give him what he needs in order to complete the task that God has given us. And he said, I'm going to prepare now. I know that he's young and I know that he's inexperienced. One of the things I love about our church is you accept young, inexperienced people not only into your fold, but then you give them room to grow and to fall and to grow again. Thank God. I remember when I came here at 27 years of age, I didn't know grits was groceries, but you allowed me to grow and fall, and God has done a great work. And now on staff, we have two 27-year-olds, and God's doing a great work in them. And even though Pastor Steve is not as young as he would like for you to believe, he is still a little younger and certainly only been in this thing about 10 years now. And so God is doing a great work in inexperienced people. But the only way to get experienced is to experience what you go through. And the best way to understand what not to do is have some experience under your belt. But here David is saying that my son is young and he's inexperienced, but the house to be built has got to be magnificent. It has to be exceedingly great. It's got to be wonderful. And he said in verse 5, he said that I will now make preparations for it. And so the next part says, so David made abundant preparations before he died.
That's right.
Before he died, I made preparations for my son to complete what God has given us to do. So I want to give you a few things here that I don't want you to take this as my points, but I got to give you a few things that, first of all, David provided for the next generation. We've got to quit living just for my generation and begin to think about the next generation that's coming down the pike. We got to begin to look at and to train and to prepare for what our next generation needs in their life in order to complete what God has called us to do. So he gives Solomon 6 or 7 things that I want to hit, but that's not part of the sermon. I just want to tell you. Number one, he gives them provision. He gives them provision. He's called them out. He's told them how to make the stone. He got stone cutters, and he made provision for them. But then the second thing that he does, he gives them history. What do you mean? In verse number 6, he says, then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said, Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. So David, it gave him a history lesson. He gave Solomon a history lesson of why he wasn't able to build the building. And he gave him a history lesson and the reasons why he's not able to build the building. Can I tell you that some of us need to remind our kids about the history of who we are and why we do what we do? You need to instill in them history. You need to instill them what God delivered you out of. Somebody needs to hear me. Listen, I've got a couple of children who will not date anybody who drinks even socially. Why? Because they know what God delivered me out of. They know what God delivered Sherry out of. God, he knows what God delivered my family and Sherry's family out of. And they know that there is a propensity in our family history, that there is a propensity for addiction. So they said, we're not even going to go near it. I'm not proud of who I was, but I want them to know that this is who I was, and it took a struggle for God to get me out of it. And if God got you out of it, don't you ever go close enough for it to grab you and keep you where you are. You need to tell your children your history. Hey, David gave him a history and reasons. But then verse number 9, he said, behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name's sake, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So I want you to catch it. He provided provision, then he provided history, but now he's providing prophecy. He's telling him what God's going to do in his life. He said, listen, here was the prophecy, David is saying. Here is the prophecy over my life. The word word of the Lord came to me and told me he was going to give me a son. And he said about, here's what he said about you. Some of us need to have a relationship with God so that we can tell our children what God said about them. The problem with so many of us, we are so concerned and consumed about us that we do not have an opportunity to hear what God is saying to my children. But I've been telling my kids, you are blessed. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're not going to struggle like I struggled. If you'll do what I did, then you can have what I have. Somebody. Hey. My God, we've got to have history, but we've got to have prophecy. Oh, don't leave them where God. Don't leave them that you were bound. Don't leave them there. Tell them how God brought them out and get a prophecy in your spirit about what God's going to do in their life. I declare that my children will do more in their lifetime than I've done in mine because I prophesy it. Hey! My God. Then in verse number 11, David said, now, my son, may the Lord be with you and prosper you. Build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel that you may keep the law of the Lord. Make sure that you keep your heart. All right, then listen. Go back to my slide because let me remember where I'm at. So David provided for the next generation provision. He provided history. He provided prophecy. Now he's providing blessing. He's blessing his kids. He is telling him that you're going to be blessed. You're going to be able to do this. But he's also giving instruction because he's telling them that you need to make sure that your heart is pure. Make sure that you keep the law of the word of God. Are you listening to me? You see, David gives Solomon, and oh my God, you got to hear this. David is giving Solomon permission to succeed. David's telling Solomon, son, I don't want you just to do what I did. I want you to exceed and succeed what I've done. See, we got so many selfish parents this day and time. We don't want our children to do anything bigger than what we did. But I've come by to tell you that God's called them. Honey, the Bible said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. There is an anointing. Listen to me. If there is an addiction in your life, and that addiction is passed to your children, and then by the third generation, it's hard to get over that addiction. But by God, the same thing goes with the blessing and the anointing of God. I believe that there is a power in a generation. Generational anointing. I believe there's power in a generational anointing, a threefold cord. If I've been anointed, my daddy was anointed, my grandma was anointed, I'm believing that my children will even be more anointed than I am because I believe that God's called us to be it. David talks about building the house. Listen, David gives him permission to succeed. My dad didn't always understand that, but my mama did. My brothers, it never happened to me, but my brothers, when they talked about what they wanted to do, and my dad would say, now, son, you need to be reasonable. But my mama would say, no, you don't, baby. If that is in your heart to do, I believe that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. My Lord, listen, I love my daddy and he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I remember him telling me that I shouldn't preach every Sunday because y'all gonna get tired of me. It's been 25 years and I preach most Sundays and you still ain't tired. Listen, Dad didn't give me permission to succeed, but mama did. Somebody hear me. You got to have to your own children, you better give them permission to succeed. But then in verse number 13, he gives instruction. He gives them provision. He gives them history. He gives them prophecy. He gives them blessing. And then number 5, he gives them instruction. Then you will prosper in verse 13. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents. Oh, did you hear me? He said, I've taken much trouble. It wasn't easy. He said it wasn't easy to do what I've done. But I want you to know I've taken care to do it. I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Look, give me my next one. He add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen, stonecutters, and all types of skillful men of every kind of work. He's given him instruction of how to do it. David talks about building the house and keeping his heart pure. He gives him instruction. Then number 6, he gives him people. Verses 17. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon. My God. He gave the people who were loyal to him, be loyal to my children. Yeah. Those of you who helped me, help my children. Yeah. David also commanded the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given you the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. And then the last thing he gives him is purpose. He gives him, he says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. We were singing about it earlier. Want to go deeper. Giving him purpose. Your purpose is to go deeper with God. I tell my children, your purpose is to go deeper with God. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. Now some of you don't even realize it, but you just read a whole chapter in the Bible. That's more Bible than some of you have read all month. Put together. Some all year put together. Come on, somebody. Bump your neighbor and say, I hope he ain't talking to you. So let me give them to him one more time, Mike. I want to give him the seven things that David did. He gave provision. He gave history. He gave prophecy. He gave blessing. He gave instruction. He gave people. And he gave purpose. Now, let me give you point number one is this. I've only got two. Point number one is this. David fulfilled his purpose in his generation. What is your purpose in your generation? See, one of the problems is we've got men who are trying to skip a generation. We got men who are trying to be to fulfill their call in the next generation. When God didn't call them to the next generation, he called their sons and their daughters to the next generation. Acts chapter 13, just write it down. I'll be gone by the time you're there. Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says this. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. David's generation had a purpose. I want you to catch this. David's generation had a purpose, but then David released the next generation to fulfill their purpose. So listen, there's some of these things. There's some of this next generation stuff, man, I don't care for. But you know what? That's not my purpose. My purpose is to my generation. But my purpose is to make provision, history, prophecy, blessing, instruction, people, and anointing for the next generation. Oh, help me somebody. See, you need to concentrate on fulfilling your purpose and setting up the next generation. See, some folks go, well, Pastor, we didn't need this old building. No, we. You know what? When we built this building, we needed it. But we didn't build it for the people who had a seat. Oh, somebody hear me. We didn't build it for the people who had a seat. We built it for the people who didn't have a seat. We built it for people who couldn't get in the house. We built it for future generations that were coming. And you're going to find out here in just a little while that, men, this altar will be full of children and young people that we're going to anoint and begin to believe. And they're already happening. You can look around and see scores of people that are here that are all of all ages. Why? Because I've got a purpose for this generation, but I'm also doing my best to prepare for the next generation. That's why we built the gym for the next generation. That's why we gave the old church to the young and remodeled it, because we're believing for the next generation. That's why we bought the building next door, because we recognize that we're preparing it. And I'm doing my best, if God will help me, to pay these buildings off, because I want the next generation to have it a little easier so that they can fulfill their purpose. I don't know if I'm a David, but I know that God's called me. I know what God's put in my heart, and I'm believing for it to get to have it done. See, there are things generationally that you need to get our, that we need to get our minds around. There are things generationally we don't usually think about, these things. One of them is personal development. Personal development is what my future will require of me. See, some of you are wanting to go further, but you don't know what your future requires of you. And are you willing to do it? You haven't read the book. You haven't taken the class. You haven't stepped into that slot. You haven't stepped into that anointing. And you're that's your personal development. What is your personal development will require of you? What is your future require of you? If you don't have a purpose in your future, then you won't know what to do to get ready for it. Hey. David went by and picked up 5 smooth stones. He didn't just pick up one. He said, "Best God, if I miss the first time, I got 4 more tries." Another preacher preached that David had 4 more brothers. He said, "I got one for each of them." Come on, somebody. You've got to be prepared. And some of us are not willing to sit on the backside of the pasture worshiping God and practicing our aim with our slingshot. And then when you get in trouble and you face a giant, you don't know how to kill it. Personal development, the greatest investment you can make is in yourself. Amen. How do I do that, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked. Reading books, listening to books, mentors. Everybody needs somebody in your life speaking into your life. And you don't need no knucklehead. Look at their life. Is that what you want your life to look like? If it is, then listen to them. If not, find somebody else. I don't talk to people about marriage who's been married 9 times. I don't want that. Come on, somebody. I get people who are successful in the area I want to be and I feel called to be successful, and I pick their brain. And I want them to speak life into me. There are always 3 or 4 mentors in my life. Oh, good Lord. Well, I don't have a mentor. You seek them out. Now, let me help you. Let me help you. If you do not respect their time, you won't respect their advice. Good preaching, Pastor. Do your best to always live in an environment of growth. That I want to grow. I personally want to grow. Let me tell you, I hate reading. Why? Because I'm so slow at it. I mean, if we read the same page, my wife will finish it, go eat a sandwich, make dinner, and I'm still on the same page. I'm so slow at reading. And then if you're watching me or you're waiting on me, it makes me even more nervous and I get even slower. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Once I get it, I got it. Come on, somebody. It may take me a while to get there, but once I get it, I got it. There are certain things I should prepare for my future. All right, so you got to have personal development. But then secondly, there's generational and legacy development. Personal development is what my future will require of me. But generational and legacy development is what somebody else's future will require of me. Listen. It's my youngest daughter over here. I believe in her. I believed in my older daughter. That's why I did my best to put them through school. I believe in knowledge, but I don't believe in knowledge without inspiration. Come on, somebody. And I don't believe in knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. How many knows there's some physicists running around who ain't even got a job, probably working at McDonald's lifting hamburgers? Because just knowledge is not enough. Are you willing to put what you know to the test? Are you willing to put to task what you know? Come on, somebody. There are Bible scholars, and I don't mean to be ugly. There are Bible scholars maybe sitting right here. But what are you doing with your knowledge? Are you heaping knowledge upon yourself just so you can say, look at me, how smart I am? Or are you making a difference in somebody's life? Glory to God. God wants us to begin to see beyond our own future and our own lives. Listen to me. In the 1920s, there were small family farms all over America. And it was built into the fabric of our society legacy. What do you mean by that? The father would work the farm, and at some point in time, the children would take over the farm. They would build houses around the farm, and everybody would work the farm. And the man that was too old to work, then the children took care of the man because the man took care of the children, and that was legacy. But now we've quit living from legacy. Because after World War II, the mindset was changed. And people began to look to retirement instead of legacy. All I want to do is get my 30 in and retire. And it became me focused instead of generationally focused. And it has focused and it has crept into the church. And the church, we want what's ours. What I'm entitled to. I want my deliverance. I want my. What about theirs? What about your children's children? What about your grandkids? What about your great-grandkids? You've got to begin to think about these things, because let me tell you this, all wealth, anointing, promises, blessings, mandates are designed to be generational, not personal. I know I'm fixing to get a little spooky for some of you, but that's all right. But I'll remember my first revival I ever preached was in a place called Alexandria, Louisiana. And it was in the middle of nowhere, a little First Assembly of God church. And I had bought a motorhome to help God out. Come on, somebody. I helped God out when I was making good money. I bought a motorhome so I could run around and preach revivals. And I was in that little church, and I was praying one Sunday morning, or the Saturday afternoon before we started Sunday morning. And as I was praying, I saw a vision. I don't see visions a lot, but I saw a vision of a mantle descending from heaven and laid around my shoulders. And I heard the Lord speak to me, not like this, but I felt the Lord speak to me and said, the mantle of your mother has just been placed on you. Somebody needs to hear me. Baby God, I'm not going to take my anointing with me. You got to give it to somebody. If you don't believe that, what about Elijah when he didn't pass, or when Elisha, when he didn't pass it on, he went to his grave with the anointing on him and his bones were still anointed. When somebody died and they threw him in on the bones, and the man came back to life because he didn't give it to anybody else. I'm not planning on taking my anointing to the grave with me. I'm going to pass it out to as many people and generations as I possibly can. God is always, point number two, God is always God the Father and God the Son. If you see one, you see the other. Jesus said, I come. If you see me, you've seen my Father. Woo! My sister was here a couple of weeks ago, and she said, as I was preaching on that Sunday night or that Wednesday night, she said, Ronnie, I saw Daddy. You did a daddy move. And I said, I know, every once in a while I'll catch myself. I go, ooh, that's what Daddy used to do. Why? Generational. Come on, somebody. See, if you watch long enough, you're going to watch Steve do some things that I've done. You'll watch me do some Steve that Benny Jones did. You'll watch some of these other young ministers do some things that you've seen me do. Why? They're not imitating me, but there is an anointing that's been passed down, and an anointing that is generationally being passed, because it's not going to go to the grave with me, baby. It's going to continue on. My God, somebody hear me. Listen, therefore one generation, one generation, because God the Father and God the Son, therefore one generation can never fully enter into the fullness of God without the connection with the other generation. You cannot do it without the next generation. But looking to the next generation, you can't forsake the generation above you. That's why we still honor saints of old. That's why we still honor folks who have served the Lord for years and decades and 50 years and walked in the anointing. We honor that. Why? Because we understand generational anointing. And as we honor the old, and you might be like me, and I consider myself in the middle, and bless God, and I guess me and Steve are right there together, we're in the middle. But you consider the old, and I'm not giving up on the old, and I'm not going to quit honoring the old, but I'm not going to give up on the young just because they're not doing what you think they ought to do and how they thought you ought to do it. Bless God, they've got a purpose, and they're going to reach their generation in a way that might not be cool with me, but let them reach their generation, because, Anthony, I give you permission to succeed. Travis, I give you permission to succeed. Josh, I give you permission to succeed. We declare that our church is a multi-generational church, and we will see the salvation of the Lord. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. That's what Joel said. However, that doesn't mean that one generation isn't awakened and the other one is asleep. No. What does it mean? Right here. It means one generation's dreams will be the working application of the next generation. Somebody needs to hear me. That one generation's dreams will be the working application of the next generation. John chapter 17, verse 6. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom have given me, or you have given me, for they are yours. And here it is. All of mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. What does that mean? That simply means when they do good, it makes me look good. Come on, somebody. I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed. Because as I do good, I make those who have poured into my life, I make them look good. Come on. I met a man. Now remember, I've been here 25 years. Two years ago, I saw a man that used to be the state overseer. He's 78 years of age now. But I saw him, and his name is Larry Timmerman. He's 78 now, but 2 years ago he was 76, of course. And so I saw him. I said, hey, Pastor. I said, hey, Bishop Timmerman, how are you, sir? And I was just passing by. He said, hey, Ronnie Reed, how are you? It stopped me in my tracks. Because he put me here 25 years ago. I said, Brother Timmerman, you remember me? He said, yes, sir, I remember you. He said, I was the one that put you in Crystal River, Florida. He said, I don't remember everybody I put somewhere, but the ones I put that are doing well, I remember them, because I want to take a little bit of credit for it. Come on, somebody. You got to recognize, baby, that when your children do well, you ought to just give a little sense of pride. I'm not talking about puffed up pride, but a little bit of pride. Yeah, baby, work it, do what you do, because the anointing is God is on you. I got to quit. I got to get this out, though. When God creates a thing, he creates generations in the thing. I want you to catch that. When God creates a thing, he creates generations into things. What do you mean? Well, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that God, the Lord God made the heaven and the earth, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before the herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the deep. In the day they were created. In Genesis, or let me just say this, that in this text right there, what God is saying is he didn't create the heavens and the earth and then didn't create a man to till it. When God gives a purpose, he creates a generation into that thing. And let me go a little bit further with this. The decisions, what it means this, that, oh God. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek, and Levi got the benefit of what he did because Levi was in his loins. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? So glad you asked. It means the decisions I make now have a ripple effect on multiple generations to come. What if? I know me better than anybody. What if I didn't obey the call of God? We've had hundreds and possibly even thousands of people saved. What if? Maybe the church wouldn't be here today. Maybe. Because when I came, it was about 7 or 8 funerals away from closing. What if? What if you hadn't come to the Lord? Are you listening to me? What if? What if my grandma hadn't come to know Jesus 3 generations ago? Yeah. My granddaddy was an alcoholic, and all of my aunts and uncles were alcoholics. But one day, my dad walked down a sawdust trail at an Oral Roberts tent revival and gave his heart to Christ, and he's never been the same since. And he has left a legacy. I might not can say this in the 11 o'clock service because we'll be live streaming. But can I tell you that my dad left a little bit. He had a little, not much money, but he had a little bit. It'd be a few $1,000 for each of us. Remember, there's 11 of us, and they're fighting over that. But there's something they can't fight over. The legacy that he left me spiritually. The legacy that he left me in the scripture. The legacy that he left me as he lived. You can fight over all you want to, but I have received it already. Hey. See, that's why. That's why an aborted child is such a tragedy. Not just because of the individual, but it's the death of lineage. See, we see one person dying, but God sees thousands dying in that one act that will never come through the lineage of that child. The promises God made to Adam was not just to him, but it was through him. See, the question we got to ask are we an Onan generation? Now, many of you won't know who Onan is. Let me tell you who Onan is. Onan is a son of Judah. And Onan's brother died. And the custom of that day was the brother had to marry the brother that did die, had to marry his wife and give his son, his brother heirs. But Onan, in Genesis, let me make sure I get it right. Genesis chapter 38, verses 9 and 10. I'm just going to read it. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife. Biblically, y'all know what that means. When he went into his brother's wife, that he emitted on the ground. Keeping it PG. Lest he should give an heir to his brother, and the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore God killed him. Why? Because Onan wanted consummation without responsibility.
Come on.
Onan wanted the pleasure and the consummation without the responsibility of siring, raising, and releasing the next generation. My God. So we've got so many Christians who are practicing childbirth in the spirit that all we want is the yes, all we want is the falling out, the shutting down and shouting down, and the blessing without the responsibility of walking it out in the name of Jesus, and then disseminating that into the hearts and lives of generations to come. My God. 2 Samuel, I'm almost done. Come here so I'll shut up. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18. At the Bible says Absalom, remember he was the one that led a revolt against his dad. Absalom had no sons, so he made monuments unto himself. He didn't have anybody to carry on his legacy. So he made monuments so people would remember him. My God, what a tragedy to be forgotten. You know, I jokingly joke, but it's not a joke, about my funeral. You know, people say, don't cry at my funeral. I want some folks acting a fool at my funeral. I want somebody laying over my casket. Why? Because I want to have impacted their lives. That without my presence, there's going to be an emptiness there. Now, here's what's crazy. Here's what's crazy. I told you that 2 Samuel 18:18 said that he made monuments unto himself because he had no sons. Jim, I need you to take the keyboard down in this for just a moment. It's a little too loud for me right now. So I told you that Absalom had no sons. But four chapters before this, in 2 Samuel 14:27, it says, and I quote, to Absalom were born three sons and one daughter named Tamar. The Bible contradicting itself? No, baby. So he may have had children. He may have sired children. But he didn't mentor them or father them. He did not father the children that he did have. So his legacy was he had no children. If we fail to father, mentor, and raise our children in the way they should go, then our legacy will be that we had no children. I know some churches who are one generation from closing. A friend of mine told me about a church in Orlando that everybody's 60 years old. There's no youth, there's no young people. And the pastor said, we recognize that after we die, this church will no longer exist. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Popeye is 70-something years old. He's 78 years young. Still riding. Come on, somebody. Still riding. Come on, leave me hanging. There you go. If God continues to bless another 20 years, 98, I don't know, 108, 105 is what he's believing for, he said. But at that point in time, I'm only going to be 70. Come on, somebody. But I got a daughter over here who's just about to turn 22. And then we've got a seventh grader over here. We've got some young people, some younger, below 11 years old, over here in the overflow. What are you saying? No, baby. Listen. Having babies. How old's your baby now? 9 months old. Having babies messes up your playhouse. Having babies. Yeah. It messes you up. It messes up your playhouse. You can't just get up and go no more. You got to plan now. Are you listening to me? They're messy. They cry. They make messes. They want what they want when they want it. But if they don't do it, then when you die, there's no legacy. I'm believing for a revival in our schools. My last slide, Mike. Proverbs 13:22, a righteous man has an inheritance for his children's children. I want our students to come forward. And I want you to fill in this altar area today. Come on, all of our students. Now, I want all of our college students to come. Nursing students, if you're a student, I want you to come. All right, now, I want all of those who work in the school system to come. Lunch, bus, if you work in it, if you're a teacher, if you serve lunch, if you drive a bus, whatever, I want you to come. My gosh, listen. I think our generation is looking good right now. Hallelujah. Our legacy living is looking good. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want our pastoral staff to come. Come stand with me. Am I missing anybody? Steve, calling them up. School staff, you're here, right? Come on, anoint your hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, church, I want you to stand to your feet. It's going to take a few moments, but it's all right. I believe it's worth it. Amen? Amen. I want you to lift up your hands this way, and we're going to anoint each child, each worker, because they're facing what things that we've never faced. And help me pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have given these staff and faculty a call and a charge that in many ways is insurmountable. And Lord, I anoint these that are here today by the power of your Holy Spirit. I anoint them in the name of Jesus. I mark them for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you would go before them and make every crooked place straight. That God, you would see right where they are, and that you would, I pray Psalms 91 over them in the name of Jesus. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit today, I pray for the anointing. I pray for the power and the Holy Ghost to go before them. Lord, I pray that they would be the leaders in their schools. That, Lord, I pray for them to be be the trendsetters in the schools. That, Lord, that there would be such an anointing on them that it would draw people and students unto them, that they may declare and decree over them the works of the Lord. Father, I pray for your protection. I pray for your provision in the name of Jesus, Lord. As they enter into preschool, as they enter into elementary school, as they enter into middle school, as they enter into high school, college, and in the other forms of their training. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, and we as a church declare your lordship over them in the name of Jesus. I break every wrong soul tie in their life, and I bless every right soul tie, that Lord, that you would go before them, that Lord, you would prepare the friends and the friend groups that you want them in. I declare that these kids shall get the best grades, that they will have the best experience in the name of the living God of Israel. We declare it. We declare it. We decree it in the heavenlies. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, I pray over this congregation. Lord, you know where we're at. Lord, you know whether we've been speaking, whether we've been living for ourselves or living for the legacy. Lord, help us to have a legacy life that we live not just for our generation, but for the next. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, have your way in our school system. Have your way. God, I pray for the school board. I pray for the principals. I pray for the administrations, God. Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that those that come to school not knowing you, I pray for a revival in the schools, a revival of salvation. God, I pray for every teacher, every staff member. Give them the wisdom, the patience, the anointing that they need in order to make a difference in the lives of the children that they will be speaking to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise in the house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.